Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. How are you today? Hope you're doing well. But however you're doing, we're right here at 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. And joining me right now is Dr. Alice Benton, and later, Dr. Jill Hubbard will be in. Alice, how are you?
Steve, I'm kind of doing a senior slide right into Thanksgiving. I'm ready for it.
Awesome.
How are you?
Well, I'm good. I don't see the call up on the board here, but we are going to do an interview.
It is there on a line 11.
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk with leader, Life Recovery Group leader, Jerrica. And Jerrica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you.
Well, I'm curious, why did you want to start a Life Recovery Group?
Well, I started in secular 12-step meetings for alcoholism.
Yeah.
And I found that I was lacking that connection with God that I was looking for. There were no Christian-type meetings in my area. And so when I came across New Life, I found a meeting that was about an hour and a half away from my house. And I went, I talked to them, and she told me, if you're thinking about starting a group, do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I did.
And you started a women's group, right?
That's right, yes. So we started a women's group on Thursdays that is a step study. So we're working through the workbook.
Awesome.
And we're coming up on the 12th month. We'll be finishing the 12th step, and then we'll start over.
I love that. You know, there are four different workbooks in addition to that one that goes for everything. And if you ever think about a specialty group, you know, like eating disorders or anything, sexual integrity, we've got a workbook for that. Well, let me ask you this. Well, how hard was it to start a group?
It wasn't. It was so easy. I would highly recommend it to anybody who is even remotely familiar with life recovery. I had worked the 12 steps, like I said, in another secular group, but when I came across the life recovery, I can tell you that the growth that I saw in myself and in the other woman that worked this program together with me was phenomenal.
I love that.
I had grown more in just that short amount of time than I had in months and months in the other groups.
Well, I'm so grateful that you started that group. I hope you'll keep in touch with us and let us know how it goes and is going. But I just want to make one point. Life Recovery isn't cramming the Bible into a recovery program. Life Recovery is bringing recovery back to the Bible where it began. In fact, Bill W. and Dr. Bob were in a Christian organization called the Oxford Groups. And when Dr. Bob in Akron, Ohio, would work with someone, he'd take them up to the upper room, get them on their knees, and win them to Christ first. Well, we want to help you in any way possible. Hey, I'm going to send you a copy of the Bible my wife did, Every Woman's, that's next year. The one-year Bible for women. I'll send that to you. Say thanks. God bless you and keep up the great, great work that you're doing. I told everybody yesterday that I was just at Tyndale House and they gave me this little award. 4 million Life Recovery Bibles 30 years later. Just amazing. God bless you. Thank you, Jerrica. Really appreciate you being with us. And we'll be right back. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to join us. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill will be here soon. And you, we love getting to talk to you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Dr. Jill, hi. How are you?
Hello, Steve.
Good to see you.
And good to see you.
I want to mention something. You know, there's Black Friday, and then there's something else online thing. I don't know. But we come down to Giving Tuesday. A week from today is Giving Tuesday. And that's where everybody's encouraged to, listen to this, give. And so here's what happened. We have, for Giving Tuesday, a $50,000 matching gift.
That's great.
And so I'm hoping that if you've thought about giving anywhere on Giving Tuesday, you'd give here because whatever you give, it will be doubled. Now, if you give $60,000, I can't match that last $10,000. But up to $50,000, go ahead and write that
check.
And we'll match
and
it.
We would
well,
receive
yeah,
it,
but
though.
Don't discourage that.
We wouldn't
no,
snub it.
We absolutely would. Well, I love it. And please think about New Life Giving Tuesday matching gift. All right, let's go to Shashar. And hi there. How are you today?
I am doing good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. Did I pronounce your name correctly or mess it up like I do most other people's?
Oh, no, you're fine. That sounded awesome.
Right, okay.
Oh, and Shashar, you're from Cleveland. I just came from Cleveland.
Ooh.
Well, how could we help today? Yeah, and thank you, Jill, for sharing with us your travel log. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. It was really cold.
I bet.
Noted, check. Yes, it is. But you know what? Okay, so I called in before. Don't want to waste you guys' time. But before when I called in, I couldn't have a private conversation because I have someone in the vehicle with me. So real quick, okay. So when I called in before, I mentioned I have been married since 2001.
Okay.
My husband, during our courtship, our engagement, and our marriage, it's been total affairs, pornography, all that stuff. So what's happened is, okay, so he's been every man's battle. Also, I've put in, you know, as far as no pornography, we can't have that. We're going to not have to be together. We've broken up a few times throughout our marriage, different households and such. Right now, we've been to like 8 to 10 different therapists over the years. All of them had told me to run.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm at a point now where I woke up one morning and I was a different woman. Now, mind you, the woman that I am now, I've never been this woman, even before my husband and I got together. So, with that being said, I'm so independent now. I'm so happy. I have no ill will towards my husband with anything that has happened. I want the best for him, and I want him to be happy. But I believe that I have set guidelines as far as all boundaries, and I don't think there's anything else that I can do. And
okay.
I'm at a point where I want to walk away completely.
Okay.
I feel bad.
Are there any children here?
I have a good heart, but...
Yeah. Are there any children?
Well, we have a 20-year-old daughter, and she's on her own.
Okay.
And she, you know, sadly, she's seen and she's known. He's shown her. She's been told things, and then she's also seen it. So, yeah,
okay.
Just a 20-year-old.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. When was the last time that he was involved in something that lacked sexual integrity?
I'm sure it was yesterday.
Yesterday. So he went to every man's battle, and he's one of those few guys that it just didn't do anything, right?
He went and he came back, you know, and it was just basically, you know, those guys are going through something terrible. I'm nothing like them.
Yeah. Okay. Because you have to come back from there and then implement what they tell you to do, which is go to meetings, stay involved, all of those kinds of things. So your question for us would be what?
My question would be, I believe that I've done everything I could as far as boundaries and ultimatum and all that different type of stuff, and I'm ready to walk away for good. and yeah. I feel okay about that.
But what's the question for us?
Are there any other boundaries that I should be setting in place before I walk away? I don't think so. I just want to make sure.
Well, okay, I'm wondering, Jill? Shar, what does he say about his willingness? I mean, obviously his actions speak loud, so we don't really trust his words. But is he aware that you're at that point?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
Okay.
We're not involved intimately or anything. It's just mouth service as far as I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, but he is.
Right, okay, so he's lying to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, which doesn't show a heart of willingness to make the changes and
no
to
kidding.
Fight for the marriage, right? So in terms of...
Right.
Right. And so do you see any signs that he would be sad about losing the marriage? Or
no, ma'am.
No signs
no,
that he's trying to hold on to it? Okay. Well, he's just waiting for you to walk away, Shar.
Yes, ma'am.
Like he's given himself over to this. It's, you know, you have to fight it, and it's hard. And when you're used to having an addiction, you're always giving over to the impulse. And some people lose their ability to fight or even believe that they can fight.
Yeah.
Or they think that, they're waiting for the feelings to change, and that's not going to happen. And addicts typically are kind of wimpy because they don't build up that muscle of saying no to themselves and having to tolerate discomfort. They think there should be no pain at all.
Yep.
And so they just grab. It's like the baby grabbing for, the bottle because they're hungry, right? And so... that's the same thing they do, and unfortunately, so there's an immaturity there in them that they really have to want the help, seek the help, and grow themselves up in a lot of areas to build up that muscle to say no and to replace it with other things and to value relationship with a human being over relationship with false idols, right, which pornography is, or that hit, that dopamine hit that's so powerful. So I'm so sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
So what should she do?
Okay.
What do you think that she could do that would, certainly have grounds.
Yeah, you certainly do. And I would just let him know that, I'm looking for any sign whatsoever that you care even one ounce about saving this marriage. And if not, your behavior, your actions, or lack thereof, tell me that emotionally you've already left.
Yeah, it is one of those cases where he has divorced you.
Yes.
He doesn't care about you leaving, and he's just acting like you're not married, so he's divorced you, and you're probably going to be the one to fill out that paperwork and get it finalized. If you did see any hint of something, then there's always intimacy in marriage, which does perform miraculous things with couples that seem hopeless. And then also, he needs to go back to every man's battle, because what doesn't work the first time, for many people, it's life-changing the second time or third time. And I just want him to get some help. And I'd love it if there was any indication. But I don't think there's going to be. I've seen these kinds of things before. But if there's any glimmer of hope, it's him going back to every man's battle, and it has a different impact because he's at a different place. In fact, I would say to him, if you have any desire for this to stay together, I want you to go to every man's battle. That would simply be it. No boundaries or anything like that. It would just be, here's the requirement. If you want to do this, there's hope. If you're not willing to do that, there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple.
Right.
Alice, what do you think?
Shar, in cases like yours, I dislike God's standing on divorce in that he still hates it, even when there is biblical ground for divorce, which I do believe there is in your case. But let's consider that he hates it because it always brings about some level of destruction. Now, sometimes it's a better form of destruction than staying with a man who's so apparently, obviously, unfaithful to you. But he does dislike it for us because it's a harm for us still. Mm-hmm. And so I recommend a legal separation first for a period of time before a divorce. And yet it may be that divorce is inevitable for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, people say, well, I want to support a ministry that feeds starving children. It's just rare that a divorce doesn't cause tremendous financial strain, especially for the female. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to see it at all, and I hope you look through down the road what this could look like. It's not pretty. And I hope that you would say to him, here's what you need to do before. And then, you know, if he'd do that, then you could go to intimacy and marriage. But you really need to just ask him, what are you willing to do? Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry.
Well, and can I just speak real quick to the process of someone in recovery? And that is, most people in all types of recovery programs often go to the first meeting. Alcoholics go to the first meeting and they go, wow, those people are really alcoholics. I don't belong there. Or women who go to Al-Anon, wow, those people are messed up. I don't belong there. You have to keep going back till you finally see yourself, right?
Yeah. Right. And so I hope that something we've said is helpful. Have you read Worthy of Her Trust?
I have not, but I have that coming in the mail, so I will
Good
be reading it.
Awesome. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll send you a copy of the one-year Bible for women that Misty did. I think you're going to like that. I hope so. And let us know how this goes. I'm really curious as to what's going to happen when you say, if you want this to work, you go to Every Man's Battle again, but this time you do what they tell you to do. Which brings me to that subject of surrender. You know, you can't change without surrender. And surrender mm-hmm. comes in two forms. One, that emotional, spiritual experience that we're all familiar with, or tears, things like that. There's another form of surrender. It's not that. It's simply making a choice to comply with what has worked for other people. Compliance, the commitment to comply, is another form of surrender. You don't have to wait for the event kind of thing. And when you make that decision to comply, it takes 6 weeks, 4 weeks for some, 6 months for others, then all of a sudden, everything starts to change, and that's what we encourage. All right, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, and Alice, I'm going to have you pick our next caller there.
We will be talking with Sandra online,
Sandra,
too, calling from San Francisco.
Sandra from San Francisco. How you doing, Sandra?
Sandra from San Francisco. I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. How can we help today?
Okay, so I wanted to share something that I saw and heard the other day, and then and I wanted to put it out there. So I was walking to a parking lot coming out of the mall, and I heard somebody, a woman, and she was screaming and a lot of profanities, and I turned around, and it was what appeared to be a mom with her little girl, and she was just going off on the little girl and screaming at her and saying what she was going to do to her. Oh, it was heartbreaking. It broke my heart. And so I just kept walking and thinking and praying, and then we were kind of walking at the same pace. And then the last thing I heard her say to the little girl is, "You're a retard." Mm-hmm. And I just it just broke my heart.
Oh, it's horrible.
And at that point, I turned. Oh, I looked at the little girl, and our eyes met, and I saw a look. I have never seen a look in a little girl's face like that. I can't even describe it. Like, I don't, I can't say
so
how.
What did you do? What did you do?
Oh, I just kept walking because I was afraid of the mom. I was afraid to say anything. Okay. The mom was so mean and angry and tough.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, got in my car, went home, couldn't stop thinking about that little girl. And I couldn't even sleep that night. It was like,
I bet not.
Those words were like daggers and to me. You're like, ugh. And so then I was praying that night, and I started, and it just came to me. I'm going to call New Life, and maybe the professionals, I'm going to cry just thinking about it. Anyway, the professionals, you guys, can put it out there of what that does to a child. I mean, it's just, it's horrible, you know?
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And it is horrible. That somebody will hear, somebody will listen and see themselves, and and what they're doing to their child.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you brought up the subject. It is horrific, and it happens all the time. And we'll have a comment or two right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and there are these situations that happen. And I remember Misty seeing a mother treat a child very much like that, and she said to the mother, you know, you don't have to do this. There is help for you. You don't have to treat your child like this. And I feel so badly for you that whatever happened to you now is happening in some form to your child. And the woman responded, and she gave her a book. I forget what it was. But I do think there are some situations where you could say to that person, and of course some are too dangerous, but you could say to that person, you don't have to do this because you're really hurting your child. And there's also a thing of where you just hang back and you just follow them and get a license plate number or whatever, or you come back to the park with somebody that keeps you safe, and then you maybe see them again. But I feel so badly for that child.
Oh, I know. Well, the other thing that I was thinking of is she said their eyes met to say to the little girl, God doesn't see you that way.
Yeah.
And neither do I, and I will be praying for you. Right?
Perfect. Yeah. Really good.
And it's scary to intervene, right? Because, the mom may then turn on you. But a lot of times, it in a sense evokes shame in the mom. But sometimes that can be used to curb someone's behavior. It's really you're holding up a mirror to that person so they can see themselves because they don't realize, right? And moms get upset and moms get reactive. And I even, Steve, remember a time when I was when my kids were really little and I was mad at them about something. I would never say that. And they go, we don't like the mean mommy. We want the nice mommy to come back.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, oh, okay, I'm coming on stronger than I realized. And it was good for me.
And it's too easy to minimize the impact that our words have. But those words and phrases stick with kids. And I have seen many a time a progression from the hurt the child feels into such anger towards the parents that it can even generate homicidal thoughts or self-harm turn to self and suicidal thoughts. Those words over the years have an enormous impact. But I also feel compassion for the parents because parenting is a tremendously overwhelming task. And folks, it's why we have to get our help and take care of ourselves, even if we're not in that position now. The preventative care that we need so that we can continue loving and taking care when we're spread too thin. We need help from the outside to be able to do that.
I was working with some men and they went over how they were treated by their father, and we came to the conclusion that there had to be a ancestor that everybody had in common that was the most evil thing ever, and it just passed down to somebody's great-great-great-grandfather and grandfather and all that, because every one of them, it was just a horrible situation. So I pray for that little girl. I pray for her. I pray that she would find hope and healing. And I pray that she will one day hear the story of Elizabeth Smart, who was so horrifically kidnapped and abused and is now out there helping other people, seems to be doing really well. When folks get the right resource, healing, transformation through the Lord is absolutely possible. Glad you called, Sandra. I'll send you a one-year Bible for women, and I hope that you enjoy that. Okay, let's. How about we go to Ronnie, Tampa, Florida, Sirius XM. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
My daughter stopped talking to me 7 years ago, Thanksgiving Day.
Aww.
And I want to know. I've done just about everything. I pray every day. I volunteer at a Christian counseling center here, and everybody prays. And I've cried, and the pastors are all really good at praying with me. And I've reached out every way that I can, other than knocking on her door. She moved to Southern Illinois. And she has five of my grandbabies. She left the grandbabies now, too. And do I knock? Do I just go knock on the door?
Wow.
I've done everything.
I don't know. We need to think about that for a minute. Well, what do you think could be done?
Ronnie, we need to know a little more of the story first. What do you think happened that your daughter disconnected from you and then from her own children?
Yeah.
Could you explain that to us?
She married a fella, and I kind of, you know, voiced it disapproval, but I accepted him, and things never went really well, and they divorced. And then one day she came to me, and she said, "Mom, who's going to want a woman like me with three kids?" And I said, "A very lucky man." And she went back to him because she thought that she couldn't make it on her own, but she was doing good. I'm a nurse, and so I helped her go through CNA school and phlebotomy school, so she had a way of supporting her and her kids, and he wasn't helping, of course. But
so, hold on just a second. Hold on, Ronnie. We're going to go to a break. You hear the music, and then we'll come back and give you some help after we talk about this. 1-800-229-3000. It's epidemic. The amount of grown kids cutting off their parents from seeing grandkids and just disengaging altogether. Jim Burns wrote a book about this, doing life with your adult children. And so many people are doing life without their adult children. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Terry Mack was talking about the coaching network we have here. And it's not, you know, when you hear coach, it's not like, hey, get back in there and fight really good. No, that's not it. It's really a synergistic of a person helping you, the power of God helping you, all coming together. And just trying to help you find the right path, encourage you to do that. And, boy, we've got some great coaches. And if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, maybe we could connect you with one of those. Back to Ronnie. What's the thought here, ladies?
Well, just a little clarification, Ronnie. I'm wondering, one, where the grandkids are, and two, has there been zero contact in 7 years? So everything you told us happened prior to her being 23, or you've had intermittent, or there's a go-between? Can you just speak to that?
There was a go-between. There was a go-between her father, but now... he's not talking, she's not talking to him either, and he's warned me not to show up in Southern Illinois, that it's his town and he runs that town, and I'll be sorry if I show up. And the kids, and he is quite a, I mean, the reason we're divorced is because he was very abusive physically.
And so I've heeded that because I've felt his anger and I know what he could do to me. So I don't go. But that Thanksgiving Day, the ex was coming back around and I said, honey, you know, your life is going good. You could do so much better, you know, and everything like this. And she said, leave my house. If you don't accept him, leave my house. So I did what I was told. I left because I wasn't going to mess up in front of the kids and Thanksgiving. So I left. But I came back a few days later and knocked on the door. She hid the kids so that they couldn't hear my voice because I practically had them since the minute she was born. She would breastfeed them and then hand them to me. Hmm. And I didn't mind that at all. I loved it.
Okay, so it's a bad situation. It's really bad. And we want to give you good advice here. So, Alice, what do you think is the best path here?
Ronnie, this is really complex. You might be in physical danger if you show up to her house. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
She has also firmly drawn that line, do not come to my home.
Right. And I contacted her on, well, I didn't contact her. I can't because she's got me blocked all social media.
Okay. All right,
but
so you can't contact her.
No.
You can't contact her, and you can't go to the house.
And, Ronnie, is there any other family member that is safe and accepted by both you and your daughter? Or family friend?
Or ex-husband?
No, the ex-husband has warned me, and believe me, I know what he means when he says that. However, I'm willing to risk life and limb because it's been 7 years.
Then honestly, well, Ronnie, as a mother, if I were in your shoes, I would also be willing to take that risk. But I would go accompanied by someone else, by a strong person, physically strong, personality strong, spiritually strong. I would plan it out. I'd make it as safe and structured a plan as possible. But as an effort to catch your daughter, as an effort to attempt relationship with her, if you've sent letters, physical letters, if you've made phone calls, then certainly as a mother, I would want to try this as well.
Yeah, I don't know that you have anything really to lose there. But then if nothing good happens from that, then you're going to need to move into a grieving process and then starting to accept this reality. Let it go, not bother her, and that's really your best chance that she might come back to you. And then, you know, it's all about the forgiveness.
That's what I've been doing for 7 years.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you might have been trying to forgive, but it's still so painful, and I can understand that. I think there's some deeper work you can do, because here's the thing. If you can't do anything about it, just like the Serenity Prayer, you have to accept these things you can't change, and then you go to work on you, and you free yourself from the expectation it's going to all work out. But you're always available if she calls you. You're always there, and when that call happens, you don't bring up one iota of anything other than just listening to what she has to say.
And also,
what I said in the letter.
Yeah, right. It's good
that I wrote.
And I'm wondering too, with Alice, with your idea, would it be possible? I mean, you know, it's sounding like your husband runs the whole state, but to talk to local police and let them know your concerns, and yet the estrangement from your daughter, but alert them so that if there is anything that should happen. And I like the idea of having bodyguards. I'd have more than one.
I agree.
Ronnie,
all right,
something
this is horrible.
Something I've done with some families is they've asked me to contact their estranged family member. And so as a third party, I have reached out to an adult child. And it's not my phone call's not always accepted. But sometimes with my explanation of why I'm calling and with the humble confession that the parent has given me that I then offer to the adult child, sometimes there is breakthrough. So you might ask for that help from a therapist as well.
All right. I'm glad you called. I'll send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that's helped. It really does help a lot of people with that, going from the grief, acceptance, and then the forgiveness. Because I want you to be at peace here, even in the worst of circumstances, and that's what Christ does promise us. All right, let's go back to the phone. By the way, let me mention this first. a gentleman that got back from Every Man's Battle. And we heard about the situation where it really didn't help, or the person didn't do what they needed to do. But this guy said this. It's pretty amazing. He says, "This was a revolutionary victory against the enemy and the generations of damage he has done in my family." Now, if you want that to be in your life, December 2nd, Every Man's Battle. Call us, see if there's a scholarship. What a great thing to start 2023 with sexual integrity and moving toward hope rather than right back into the same old patterns. All right. Having said that, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and anybody that supports us, you're supporting, absolutely supporting those kinds of recoveries. Let's go to Susan, I believe we're going to talk with right now. Susan, welcome to New Life Live. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
How can we help?
I have a son who is finally in divorce in July, and on this Sunday night's pickup, the ex-wife showed up with the new companion, and my son is in a tailspin. And I need some boundary advice, some how to direct him as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did the daughter-in-law say to you?
I do not go to the pickup.
Okay.
My son takes the children on to the pickup, and they have a... the girls just go back with their mother.
Okay. All right. And one more little question here is, are they living together, this new person? Do you know?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. So if you were in this situation, let's just say it's you, Alice, and your ex-husband, you don't have one, but if your ex-husband shows up with a new girlfriend here pretty soon after the separation and you're now turning your kids over to both of them, what would you do?
There are a few steps I would take, but first a question or two, Susan. Is the new partner an affair partner that was part of ending the marriage?
No, this is a new person into the mix.
And does your son live with you?
He lives with us on the weekends. He picks up the girls, and then he comes to our home. Most weekends, he is with us.
And is he asking for your help with this situation?
He reaches out to us because he is, he needs us to listen to him. Mm-hmm.
And does anyone, you, your husband, your son, does anyone have a decent relationship with the ex-wife that she's at all receptive to conversation with?
We do not.
Okay. So in situations like this, we start with a kind, gentle request, hoping
Hold that thought, Alice. Just hold that thought because we got to go to a break here. You are listening to New Life Live, and if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Counselors, coaches, intensives, Every Man's Battle's coming up, Restore. Also, Intimacy in Marriage, February. Oh my goodness, things happen there. Call us about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to do another program after this, and this number is 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. And Susan is, well, the son deserted by his wife, and now the kids are being raised, and here comes a new relationship. And Susan wants to know, what do I tell my son to do? Alice, where I've got a couple of things, but what are you thinking here?
Susan, it is best to start with a request appealing to the mother's heart of this woman, that in the best interest of the children, I make this request. Would you come alone, please, to pick up the kids or to drop the kids off? If the request is not received well by the wife, which we expect it probably won't, then mm-hmm. he needs to be prepared to establish incremental boundaries. And sometimes this has to end up back with attorneys and back at the court where the request is made official and it's set up as a standard for the custody agreement. But start with a request to see if any good can come from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what we were talking about at the break. Here's what I think might be you'd say to your son, send your ex-wife an email. And in that email, you say to her what everybody knows. Dear whomever, it has been proven that when children of divorce are introduced to dating partners, they think that's everything's going to work out with that person. When that doesn't, then now they have two pains, and then here comes another person, they're doubly wanting that to be the answer to the problem. And since it's so painful for our children, I'm asking you to do what most people would tell you to do. Don't bring around people you're dating until you really believe this is the person that you're going to marry for the sake of our children. He might even add, and anytime you want to go on a date, I will find a way to take care of those kids. What do you think about that, Jill?
And I think definitely you want to put it in an email. It will curb his desire to make any jabs at her, right? Yeah. Because this then is something that may be used, like Alice was saying, later on. And you want to really make the focus about the kids, which is separate from how he's feeling and his heart. Right.
Yeah.
So to establish that adult communication with her so that there can be a record that he was putting the interests of the kids first and requesting that of her. At the same time, Susan, I think listening to your son is exactly what you need to do. When people go through divorce, they need to talk and talk and talk and talk. And they need people who are willing to be there and hear them out on all the awful things the ex did.
Yeah.
And all the things that people are surprised about in divorce, when that's probably why they got divorced, right? Because this woman isn't very sensitive or whatever happened. So whatever someone wasn't doing in marriage, they're not going to do in divorce. But sometimes that's really hard for the person going through it to reconcile.
Yeah.
And Susan, your son needs to brace himself, probably through therapeutic help, because his reactivity is totally understandable. But he needs to build up his strength so that he's not pushed into a tailspin by all the things his ex-wife will probably continue to do. Mm-hmm. He has to be prepared, expect it, and get that professional help so he can withstand it for the sake of the girls.
Yeah, really, really tough. All right, I'm glad that you called, and I'm trying to think of something that might help her and him.
I think healing is a choice for him, Steve.
Yeah, and then take your life back. We'll send both of those to you. I have time to hear a comment here from Lucy. And Lucy, hi. Want to take your call? By the way, we are doing another program after this, so hang on. And if you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. Lucy, what's on your mind today?
I was listening to you. This is my first time calling in. I was listening to the caller who said that she saw this mother talking to this little child in such a manner, and she wanted to say something, and she didn't. And I wanted to say what happened to me.
Okay. You have to be brief, though, because I'm really running out of time. But be brief and tell us what happened.
I was in a community center one day, and the mother was berating her son and cursing at her son because he had dropped some candy. And I took it as long as I could, and I looked at the mother. I looked at the child first, and I looked at the mother, and I told her, "Don't you ever talk to your don't you ever talk to your son like that again."
And what did she say?
She didn't say anything. She just stopped talking to her son like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow!
But I prayed.
I'm glad you did.
I prayed. What to do.
You are a brave and bold woman, Lucy.
Yes, and you stood up for that child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
Yes,
and,
as long as I could. We're all in the same room. And others were in the room, too. But there was nobody speaking up for that child. And I just felt sorry for the little child, little boy. Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture. By the way, let me send you a one-year Bible for women. And thank you for that comment. Scripture's so clear. We've talked about this before. But children were not important. They were discardable. Women were not important. They were treated more like property in Old Testament times. Jesus comes along and honors women, ministers with women, prevents a woman in sin from being stoned, and who knows how many other times that happened. And when it came to children, they were the disciples were saying, "Here, get these kids away." And he said, "No, no, no. You bring them to me. In fact, if you don't have faith like these little children, you're not going to make it." And then he said this: "It would be better for you to just go ahead and get a big old cement block, chain around your neck, and jump in the water than to offend one of these children." And then this amazing verse: "For their angels are in the presence of the Father, making sure he does not miss what's happening." Now, God doesn't tell us that he's going to prevent pain, but there are consequences. And we've said it before, there's a lot of talk about loving God, praising God. But if you're hurting a child, you need to be fearing God. We all need to fear God. And I just pray that something inside of you that's good, that's left, if you're hearing this, that you would say, "I need to stop this." I was here in Indianapolis, long before I lived here, I was in an arena. Chuck Swindoll, one of my heroes in life, said this, and you could hear a pin drop. Some of you Christians in this room, are abusing your children, and some are sexually abusing your children, and you have to stop, and you have to get help. So it's reality, and it won't go away until people get the help that they need. That's why we're here. That's what we love to see happen. Somebody going one way, and then they change and go the other. Why do people keep doing it? Well, because the Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. That's Nahum 1:3. Sometimes you need to hear reality like that. We're going to talk more after this new program. Come join us, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.